You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
This morning we're getting what I call to where the rubber hits the road as we talk about Christians at war. We've talked a lot about armour, weapons, we've talked about how the enemy works, we've talked about demonology, curses, we've talked about the result of curses, we looked at fear, barrenness. Last week we looked at sieging, we've talked about the weapons, truth, praise, etc. And so as we move on, I just sense that God is leading us now to start to bring to pass or to bring to highlight in our minds little areas where the enemy steals, where the enemy tries to rob us from achieving and walking in the things of God. One of the things that I believe that God has meant as we've worked through Christians at War, Mission of the Holy Spirit, is really to become secure in Him, become secure in the knowledge of who He is, in the knowledge of the victory we have in Him, in the knowledge of His love. And it doesn't surprise me that God has put on my heart to speak about insecurity today. Insecurity is one of those areas that affects every one of us, whether we believe it or not. But insecurity is overcome when we become secure in who we are in Christ. And so you need to start to put together all the things that you've heard. Whether you believe it or not, whether you see it out working in your lives or not, is not the issue. The issue is it is the truth. As Nick said a couple of weeks ago, it is the belt of truth. It is what we wear. And it's a part of life. And as we start to walk in that truth, then God will give us revelation. He'll give us rhema, scripture. He'll give us the sword of the Spirit of truth to be able to use to walk in. So as I said this morning, we're going to look at insecurity. We live in a society that is consumed with all sorts of phobias. And I don't know about you, we were talking in the office the other day. You know, when I grew up in the factory I was in, it was the Lebanese back, and then it became this and it became that, and then it became hypoglycemia, and then someone we knew got a plate in their mouth that got rid of headaches, so everyone got plates in their mouth that got rid of headaches. And now there's every allergy under the sun, and you don't have this and you do have that, and you can't have that and you can have this. And there's an industry out there. The Y2K has got nothing on this industry of all these phobias and stuff. Yet we don't hear anything about the epidemic of insecurity. And I don't think that's by coincidence. I think we don't hear anything about it because there's no money in it, and also because the world does not have the answer to insecurity. In fact, the only way to overcome insecurity is to become a God chaser and to put God in the focus point of your life. And certainly the world doesn't want you to do that. So much of the world is in trouble because they don't really know who they are. They base their worth and their value on all the wrong things. What they do, what they look like, who they know, what they know, or what they own. So, a question right now for all of us. How do you feel about yourself? Do you ever compare yourself with other people and feel belittled if you can't do what they can do or be like them? Have you ever said, I wish I looked like her, or in my case, him? I wish I had what they have, or wish I could do what you could do. You know, we look at the platform and we look at great singers and great musicians. I wish I could do that. We start to compare, and the Bible says if we compare ourselves one with another, we become discouraged. It opens up a crack, it opens up a door that the enemy can start to sow his seeds of lies. Researchers say that there are four primary marks of insecurity: helplessness, isolation and vulnerability, fear of the future, and extreme pessimism. The truth of the matter is, every person, even the most self-confident person, at some point in their lives will experience feelings of insecurity. You only got to go through the Bible and you'll see that every person in the Bible has had depression of some sort, somewhere, sometime. And insecurity works with that. We worry about our finances. We worry about job security, relationships, our health, What's going to happen in our old age? Our investments. You know, I was saying to somebody the other day, you've only got to listen to ads, and most ads are built around fear. You know, there was an ad the other day, it was about funeral protection. And you've got to take it out because you don't want your kids to worry. That's why you take it out. And then, of course, the wealth projections and all the things that are happening with your superannuation. You know, we are being bombarded in every way, shape or form to make us insecure, to bring fear into our lives. We worry about personal issues that cause us to stay awake at night. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about the day after tomorrow. Or we even worry about next week or next year. Insecurity, in definition, is defined as lacking self-confidence or having self-doubt. Insecurity is characterized by the belief that we do not have what it takes, or we're lacking the ability to accomplish tasks that confront us. The good news, and it is great news, is that we don't have to live insecure lives, because it's God's will for us to be secure. It's God's will for us not to live in fear. We were created, it's the truth, we were created to feel safe. We were created to be secure. We were created to be confident and bold. It's part of our spiritual DNA. It's who we are in Christ in every way, shape or form. This morning, as I unpack this whole area of security, insecurity, I thought, who could we look at in the Bible that typifies somebody who was insecure? And there are so many that we could look at, so many people that had self-doubt. But I want to use Moses if we can, and we're not going to open the scripture as far as reading it, but if you want to read it, if you want to follow on, if you want to look at it later, you can go to Exodus 4, 1 to 16. Moses was called by God, appointed by God to be the deliverer of the children of Israel from bondage. We're going well down the stream as we look at Moses right now. Moses raised a never-ending list of objections and excuses as to why he was not the right person for the job. You ever had your mind do that to you? God puts something in your heart. God calls you to do something, and all of a sudden, there's this flood of excuses, this flood of objections that come up as to why you are not suitable for the job. God would have none of it. When we look at Moses' never-ending objections, we discover that what is really behind his objections is the root of insecurity. Moses was fine going to work for his father-in-law. Every day looking after the sheep. He had nothing to do but just sit and look after sheep, talk to them, count them, look at the spots, put a few healings on them if he needed to. But it was only when God required Moses to step out of his comfort zone, when he had that confrontation with God at the burning bush. You know, often, if not all the time, when God calls us, we can see miracles around us. Yet we doubt those miracles. We doubt God. You know, there's this burning bush that wasn't burning. Now, that's enough. But then when the bush starts to talk to you, that's something more that we've got to think about. Well, Moses is talking to this bush about all the excuses as to why he can't do what the bush is telling him to do. But it's not the bush, it's God that's talking through the bush. And the bush isn't burning. He had insecurity. The real heart to insecurity, believe it or not, is being pushed out to do things that we don't feel we can do. Getting outside of our comfort zone. And when we think of the scripture, when we think of even the songs that were sung, you know, letting go and letting God have more, putting away self, you know, that's getting outside of our comfort zone. I was talking to someone throughout the week, and it was no doubt very easy to say one of the problems we have in trying to walk the walk that God wants us to walk is we can't see God. We have his scripture, but it's a book. A miracle book in every way, I agree, but it's a book. We have to put our trust in something that we can't see. We have the evidence of what we can't see, but we have the world bombarding us with lies. We have education telling us that it's got nothing to do with God. It just evolved. And so we are pushed outside of our comfort zone into trusting, into believing. And that's hard stuff. When God calls us out and gives us an assignment, we need to ultimately understand it's no longer about us. It's about God, and it's ultimately God who knows better than we do about what we can do. Moses' objections highlighted the root and cause of his insecurity. First cause was his self-esteem, how he felt about himself. And then the second cause was his self-concept. That is, how he saw others and how they saw himself. How we think others see us is self-concept. Moses suffered from low self-esteem coupled with poor self-concept. Moses did not believe he had what it would take to accomplish the job that God had for him. For Moses, the seeds of insecurity were sown at an early point in his life. That's incredibly important. Moses was not born insecure. We were not born insecure. Moses, like us, became insecure because something happened to him. Think about that right now. If you can identify right now with insecurity, start straight away exposing the lie. What was it that happened? Where did it start? Where did I become insecure? What was the lie that I believed? What was the experience that happened that caused me to all of a sudden doubt, all of a sudden worry about what people saw? What happened to Moses? Moses was born a Hebrew. He was raised an Egyptian. He grew up and was educated in the house of Pharaoh. One day he saw an Egyptian being beaten. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And so he, in rage, killed the Egyptian. The next day, the Hebrew brought to Moses' attention what he had witnessed. And Moses fled because all of a sudden he was insecure. All of a sudden he found out a lie. He was not whom he thought he was. He couldn't trust anybody anymore. Life was exposed to him. This incident and the way he responded changed Moses' life, changed the course of his direction. Now, let me stop there and just say that the Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And looking down the tram and looking at the outworking of Moses leading the children of Israel across the Red Sea and into the wilderness and obviously ultimately to the promised land, God used what happened. And maybe God needed to use what happened to lower Moses from being a person who was proud to being a person who had to lean on, rely on God. I can see all of that. But the truth of the matter was that when Moses went off into the wilderness and when he attended and tended those sheep, he wasn't the same man that he was when he was living in Pharaoh's courts. When he was riding around on the best animals, when he was eating the best food, he was a broken man. The way that feelings of insecurity formed and developed in Moses give us insight into how insecurity works in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. First thing is that feelings of insecurity and inadequacy are usually born as a result of the discovery that we're not as altogether as we thought we are. Something happens that causes us to start to have self-doubt. Feelings of insecurity and inadequacy are fueled by worry or being overly concerned with what other people think or say about us. And again, that is such a big one in the world today, and we see that being outworked in eating disorders and so many things throughout our youth right now. In fact, it's our youth that I worry about more than anything else when I think of insecurity and inadequacy. Feelings of insecurity and inadequacy live on and rob us from joy because we fail to deal with the situation, the circumstance that caused us to become insecure. Today, I want to deal with that one. I want us to highlight. I want the Holy Spirit to illuminate to us. I want light to cast out darkness. I want truth to overcome lies today as we start to see that we have listened to, we have accepted, we have believed a lie. In short, insecurity, if we do not confront it, has the ability to cause our lives to be dominated by self-doubt, robbing us of joy, robbing us of fulfilling the destiny which for which we were created. As we read on in the dialogue between Moses and God, we see how God challenges Moses' self-doubt, how God uses what he's calling him to do, and how he uses what's happening to challenge him in regard to his self-doubt. We need to confront our doubt. We need to confront our insecurity. God is teaching Moses, he's teaching us that feelings of insecurity, inadequacy, and self-doubt have to be challenged. We can't just sit here and let it sink down. We can't sit here and hide it. We can't sit here and keep putting our masks up and putting on an act because we don't want to confront. Moses' first objection is, what if? What if when I go and speak to Pharaoh, he doesn't receive me? God counters Moses with, so what? In fact, God really responds to Moses with a question. God says to Moses, what's in your hand? What have you actually got in your hand? While Moses is so consumed and worried about the future and what may or may not happen, God brought Moses' focus back to the present. You know, I love the Word of God. You know I love the Word of God. The Word of God says, put the past behind and press towards the goals that lie ahead. But it also says, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient today is the evil thereof. So God doesn't want us to live in the past. He doesn't want us to worry about the future. He just wants us to live in the now. Because it's the now that we're living in and walking in. And the future's God's business. He does tell us to have a vision. Of course he does. He does remind us to look at the past, the memorial stones. But we don't live there. We don't allow it to drag us down or pull us down or stop us from moving forward. We live in trusting God right now. We live in the present. The point I think that God is making to Moses and to us is that while we cannot control what other people say or think about us, we can do and live with what we currently possess. In our hands, we have the power and the ability to make things happen. That's what the Word of God says. That's what we've been preaching and teaching. In our hands, we have God-given power. God-given power and ability that no one can take from us. Insecurity, because we allow it, robs us. But that power and ability is still there. It's only us, by our thinking, that can minimize the outworking of God's power. The truth is, no matter what others say or think, they have no bearing on the power to do that which God has called us to do. When we use what God has put in our hands, it opens the door for God to step in and to empower us to do what he's called us to do. I reckon God must have been shaking his head at Moses. Moses, you're missing the point. Moses, don't you understand that it's me, God, creator of all, that is sending you? You're not going in your own strength. Don't you understand that I am the one that's causing you to be successful? Why worry about what Pharaoh is going to say or how you're going to be received? Why not focus on the resources? Why not focus on what I've placed in your hand? Recognizing that if I can talk to you through a burning bush that's not burning, if I can do these things, if I can show you in such a simple way that I am God, surely I know what I'm asking you to do right now. Moses then came up with another objection. I've never been, and I am not now. I thought about this one. To put it another way, God, you're asking me, you're calling me to do something that has never been my strength. You're wanting me to step out and to do something that I'm not trained to do or that I don't feel equipped to do. I reckon that's where faith and trust comes in. God simply says, I'm going to help you. God points out to Moses, look, stop looking and focusing on what you think you cannot do. Just every place that you put the sole of your foot, I'm going to give you. Just do it. The truth is, every one of us are in the same boat. We don't know what we can accomplish until we start to try. We play a game at home with our kids called Greed. Anyone played Greed? Greed is a great game. Greed is just a bit of felt, some dice, and dice have letters on it that spell greed. And the whole aim is to roll the dice and count the six dices you've got, and it adds up to points. And you can either sit or you can be greedy and keep going. At the end of the game, when somebody reaches 5,000, everybody else has one more shot to see if they can beat that person. And up until then, you've been sitting there very safe, you know, taking your 100 points or your 200 points or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the game, it makes no difference whether you sit or whether you bust, because the game has already been finished. So you may as well gamble and have a try. Gamble without money, of course. And so you roll the dice and you keep rolling the dice, and you'd be surprised at how many times you go well beyond what you would normally have done and you get a really, really, really big score. And that's what I think life is all about. So often we limit God in what God can do through us because we're fearful, because we're insecure, because we are being very, very cautious. If God be for you, who can be against you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think we need to start stepping out and start taking risk, faith in God, and start doing the things that God has called us to do. Start initiating and using the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that boldness, that power, that authority that is there. So the real question is, how much do we trust God? How much are we really, really prepared to trust in God's word? If God has promised to help us, which he has, to teach us, which he has, what more can we say than, yes, God, I'm going to do it. And then Moses comes to his third objection. He finally gets a little honest. God, please send somebody else. Don't use me. Use somebody else. Look, there's better people here that could do the job far better than I. Look at their credentials. Look at what they've done. Look at the testimonies that they've got in their life. God, please use somebody else. And I reckon that Moses really, really, really is exposing the truth here. God says, hey, be comfortable. Trust me. But Moses, in the back of his mind, is saying, I've got to go back to Pharaoh. I've got to go back to the Egyptians. I know I killed an Egyptian. They know I'm not an Egyptian. They know I'm a Hebrew. and they're going to really get into me. He has to face his past. He has to face the lie. He has to face where that insecurity started from in the first place. And I think that that is the truth about us. So often we will not do what God has called us to do. We will not walk as God has called us to walk. We will not live in the victory that God has given to us, because it means that we've got to face the past. We've got to take God at his word. I believe that there's an incredible truth here, that God is showing us that everything we do today is a stepping stone for tomorrow. It's preparation for what he has planned for us for tomorrow. You know, I love that scripture in Joshua. It says, every place that you put the sole of your foot. I'm going to talk to you in a minute about my insecurities, but I just know that everything that God has called me to do has been a stepping stone for tomorrow. Would I have ever thought that I would be up here speaking? No, never. And Pastor Oxy knows that. I'm going to share a story about that in a minute. But I know, looking back, that every stepping stone, everything that God has called me to do, is a stepping stone, is a training ground, is a preparation for tomorrow. The situations we allow ourselves to experience today will sow the seeds for growth and fruitfulness that we reap tomorrow. By saying yes to God, by overcoming insecurities, by overcoming our fears, our phobias, that we are opening the door for what God wants us to do tomorrow. And, you know, we don't have to have insecurities about spiritual things. Insecurities about commitment. Insecurities about so many things. The truth is that we will never break free and become what God wants us to become, or experience all that God has for us, unless we're prepared to step out of our comfort zone, those walls, those masks that we have built. So what's the answer to insecurity? As I said at the start, I think the key is seen in the sermons we've been preaching at Christians of War. The sermons and the ministry that Dale has been giving to us on Sunday evening, the mission of the Holy Spirit. The key is being secure in knowing who you are in Christ. Believing, accepting, trusting, relying on, leaning on the Word of God. Recognizing and receiving God's love. It's a simple statement. A very simple statement. It's a quick statement. Receiving and accepting and recognizing that God really loves you. You know, I've talked to so many people over the time about God's love. And you just see the shudders come up, because what happens is that they allow the past, they allow the experiences of the past, the things that have happened to them, to overrule what the Word of God says about them. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. He loves me. Receiving, accepting, receiving God's love is the start to becoming secure. Basing your worth and value on who and what God says you are, not what you do. When you can become secure in who you are in God, and when you can base your value on what God says, I am his child. He loves me. He died for me. The things that he's given me, the strengths, the equipment that he's given me are all there. And God doesn't lie. Then that immediately takes away the lies of the enemy, the deceits of the enemy. Your mortgage, your income, your house, your car, your kids, whatever it might be. How you base yourself in comparison to others falls away when you see yourself as God sees you. I was an incredibly insecure person. And I mean that. You'd have to believe that. I was an incredibly insecure person. Looking back, and as I thought about this and meditated on it yesterday, I actually think I can tell you where it started. It started when I was at school. I have a twin brother who has special needs, and I was bullied and belted up big time because of my brother. But I don't think that was it. I think it started because I was picked on because I was small. I was really small. And I mean really small. When I went to school, they had a rule that you weren't allowed to wear long pants until you got to a certain height. I never, ever, ever wore long pants at school. Now you're laughing at me. That's disgusting. Just highlighting my insecurity. When I was in tech school, when I was in fourth form, that's year 10, the first formers were taller than me and they used to put me in a dustbin and carry me around. You know, now that, no, don't laugh. That hurts deeply. It did. It did hurt. But I learnt that my mouth was a good tool. I wasn't big, I wasn't strong, but I certainly had a good gob. And I became very sarcastic. And I could hit anybody back with my mouth like you wouldn't believe. But that was where I think my insecurity started, because I compared myself against others. You know, that went right through into, when I tried to work it out, I must have been about 28, 29. I can still remember the day where I was delivered from insecurity. But that deliverance was just what I would call where the enemy's hold was broken. The deliverance started well before then. It started as I became a Christian, as I started to sit and listen to the Word of God, as I watched other people walking in freedom that I didn't have. And then a lady called Catherine Thornton came to our church, and she got up and she spoke her testimony. And I found myself sitting in the front row howling, and I mean not howling silently, it was howling. And when you're insecure and you're making a noise like that in front of everybody, that's not a good thing. But I didn't care, because God was doing something. And that was where the power, because deliverance breaks the power, the habit patterns you got to deal with, that was where the power was broken. And then I continued to work on and walk on. And I can remember there were many, many times where I was being a man pleaser in the sense of wanting to be right, where working with Pastor Hal and doing things that he wanted. And one day God just said to me, "Who are you working for?" And I said, "Hal Oxley." And he says, "No, you're not. You're working for me. Who are you trying to please?" And I said, "Hal Oxley." And he said, "No, you've got to please me." And I can remember extremely, just as clear as day right now, I was standing down in the front of the portico. Pastor Hal had been away. There was a mountain of tan bark that needed to be moved, and he was coming back the next day, and I knew that he was going to be getting into me because that mountain was there and I hadn't moved the tan bark. And when I realized that I was working for God and not for Hal, and I was here to please God, not Hal, my insecurity dropped off. That doesn't mean that I didn't want to serve. It doesn't mean that I don't want to please. We all do. But the enemy lost his hold on my life. And I can honestly say to you now, I am not an insecure person anymore. There are plenty of times when I feel that I can't do what I'm called to do. But then I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I made a commitment to God when I gave him when he became the Lord of my life, that I would do anything he put in front of me. Now, I can't even think for the life of me why I would ever make that commitment. But that was what I felt God asked of me, to make him Lord. And there have been many, 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 many times where I can remember wishing I'd never said that. Because there have been many things in my life that God has asked me to do, or that have become part of what I have to do, that I don't feel capable of doing. When I first became pastor here, I said to Pastor Oxy, "Yep, love to do what you've asked me to do. Just give me an office, a phone, no doors, no windows. I don't want to talk to people, and I certainly don't want to do anything on the platform." The first week that it was announced that I'd become one of the ministry team, he asked me up to pray. Well, I nearly wet myself. There's no other way of saying it. Pastor Oxy knew exactly what he was doing. Exactly what God did with Moses. He made me start to confront my insecurities and my fears. If I was to sum up my deliverance, my release from insecurity, it would have to be that I had a revelation of God's love for me. That God's love was greater than anything else. Because I know what my sins are. I know my failings. I know my thoughts. I know where I fall short of God's glory. And only somebody who loves me so much would give me the opportunity and the privilege of serving him like he does. And so 1 John 4:18 became my scripture. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns out fear or insecurity. Expels every trace of terror, for fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached full maturity of love. Perfect love. Who is perfect love? God is perfect love. Jesus is perfect love. Jesus at the cross took my punishment. Zephaniah says that. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He's turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. My punishment, my insecurity has been paid once and for all. And so I had nothing to worry about. And that's why I'm so strong on knowing whom we are in Christ. Knowing the victory we have in Christ. That's why I'm so strong. And if the Word of God says it, that settles it. That's why I can say, and people get so upset at me, let go and let God. Do the best you can, let God do the rest. There are plenty of things that we do in this place that if God wasn't in it, we'd be in trouble. We live in an incredible world with an incredible God who says we can do all things. This morning, my prayer is that you will have a revelation of God's unconditional love. Can we have the people who are distributing communion come, please? Getting a revelation on God's unconditional love helped me to understand my worth. Helped me to value myself not as others see me, but as God sees me. I am a child of God. You are God's children. If we believe that God's love is based on how we perform, then we're never going to be secure. But if we believe that God loves us because he loves us, then we are secure in him. Every one of us in this room are as equally valuable to God as each other. It's not about what you do. It's not about how much you earn. It's just the knowledge that we're all equal in God's sight. God is love, and God really loves you. My prayer today is that you will experience God's love for yourself. Because if you can experience God's love for yourself, then you will live and enjoy the peace, the joy, and the security that I have. And I don't say that lightly. I couldn't live without the peace that I have. I couldn't live without the joy that I have. That doesn't mean that stuff doesn't happen. Plenty of stuff happens. But when God is for you, who can be against you? When you've been given authority over all the work of the enemy and the Bible says that nothing in any way shall harm you, then that's life. And that comes from being secure. This morning as we hold in our hands these communion elements, I believe that God challenged me to challenge you with this call. There are people here who are insecure because you're allowing your past to rob you. You're thinking of your past. You're allowing what has been said or done to you to stop you from walking in the victory. You're allowing something that is a root, an original root. And I've been praying that God would illuminate right now that lie. That you'd be able to physically see where it happened and what happened. And that you would this day forgive those that were involved. But secondly, allow God to put his healing hand. It could be the comparison trap. It could be words that were said over you. It could be an experience that happened in your family. The truth of the matter is that God knows. And God wants to restore you because you listened to a lie. You were not born insecure. You allowed insecurity to rob you. And today, because you are a Christian, because you have Christ's DNA living in you, you have the victory that Christ won for you. Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, God, if this cup could pass me by, let it go. He didn't want to go through, he was. He didn't say, God, take the cup away. He just said, if it can't. Today, let God take control. Maybe you can't deal with the past in the sense of writing it. I couldn't deal with my past in the sense of writing it. The truth was, I was small. The truth was, I was put in dustbins. The truth was, people did say things about me. But the greater truth, the real truth is that what they were doing and what they were saying was a lie compared to how God saw me, because I'm created in God's image. It's time to see ourselves in the light of God. This morning, you hold in your hand God's love. That's the truth. You hold in your hand God's love. Could we all stand, please? Musicians, could we come? I know that we're running just a tad out of time, but could we sing "It Is Well With My Soul," please, Sky? I read how this song was written, "It Is Well With My Soul." The gentleman who wrote it had a major tragedy take place in his life in America, and what he decided to do was to send his family on a cruise liner over to England. He was going to go with them, but something took place and he had to stay. He was going to catch another ship at a later date. And so his wife and his four children were on this ship, and it got struck by a freighter, and within 12 minutes it sunk. The wife was saved, but the four children were lost. And by the time she got to England, she just wrote him a telegram, "Children lost." And it said that he was so mortified that he hopped on a ship straight away and travelled over. And as it came to the spot where the ship that his children were lost in, the captain told him, "This is where your children were lost." And an overwhelming thought came into his heart. It's his song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Doesn't matter what happens to us. God's in charge. It is well with my soul. This morning, if you've been impacted, if you've allowed the lie of insecurity to rob you, can I encourage you this day to ask God right now where you stand for a revelation of his love. And let's see insecurity being put under our feet. Tonight we're going to have a time of worship and ministry. Tonight it's going to be what we call a ministry night, a worship and ministry night. We're going to be praying for people tonight. We're going to be seeking God to minister into people's lives. So if you're in that boat, can I encourage you to come tonight and be prayed for? If you have been suffering or you do suffer from insecurity, if what I've said this morning is touching you, I don't want anyone looking around. Why don't you just lift your hands straight away so I can pray for you? Keep your hands up high. Okay, you know that it's been pulling you down. See, often we put a mask up, often we put up this great shield. Sometimes defensiveness becomes our best form of attack when we're insecure. Father, you know the hands, you see the hands. And Lord God, I know that every one of us do face insecurity, but Lord, I stand against the root of insecurity right now in people's lives. I pray that you would break, Lord God, every bit of lie, every darkness that has overshadowed these people, and that there would be a freedom. And as we sing today, "It Is Well With My Soul," as we stand on the rock called Jesus, that Lord God, we would see victory take place in our lives today. Lord God, I thank you for our love. Let your love overshadow us this day. The revelation of your love, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's sing "It Is Well With My Soul."
Inside.